Well, good morning, everyone. I have to say I have a special ability this morning. I am fighting a cold, so I was very able to drop down an octave on all the music and sing those glorious bass notes, and don't usually hit those. That was kind of nice. I'm telling you this because if I have a coughing fit, don't worry, I'm not dying. I'll just have a coughing fit. Don't worry. I want to tell you about a couple of things that are coming up. First of all, tomorrow night is a big deal in this church because we are having our monthly prayer gathering. This church believes that God moves through prayer. And we are going to be praying about our vision that everyone is a faith trainer. There are all kinds of obstacles to that vision. Agree with me and nod your head. There are all kinds of obstacles to that vision. There's all kinds of things inside of us that doesn't want to be a faith trainer. We would rather leave everyone alone. And yet, how are people going to know the good news about Jesus? So, the only thing that can change that is something supernatural. And so we are going to gather here tomorrow at 7 o'clock to pray about that very thing. Something else I want you to know about, you're not going to believe this, but Advent starts next week. Yeah, some of you Christmas people are really excited about that. You've had decorations up for weeks already. God bless you. So next week we're starting Advent, and we are wanting to prepare you for Christmas. And as a staff, we have come up with a theme. It's called Decluttering Christmas. And next week you are going to see big piles of boxes of the things that clutter our lives that keep us from really enjoying Christmas. And every week we are going to talk about one of those piles. As we go through the themes of Christmas, love, joy, hope, and peace. So I just want to prepare you for what's going to be here next week, okay? Yeah, all right, good. Okay, before we dive in, let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would allow us to listen carefully to your Spirit. I pray especially for those who are coming here who don't know you yet. May they hear from you. Maybe this morning for the first time that they can recognize your voice, that they would know that you are real and that you love them and that you want them with you. Lord, may we all respond to your voice this morning. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I want to tell you about a conversation that I had some time ago with a young man who came to tell me a little bit about his family background. And he said he grew up in a fairly large family, and in that family his parents used to fight. And fight and fight. And maybe you grew up in a family something like that. He said, because he was the eldest son, he took it upon himself to try to keep the family together. And so he'd try to patch things up between mom and dad on a regular basis and try to convince, especially mom, to not leave. Now, imagine what that does to a child, to have that kind of pressure. That kind of pressure has not left him to this day. He still feels tremendous pressure to keep the family together. Anything that threatens the family, he takes it upon himself because he's owned it for so long, to the point where he's developed ulcers. He worries about it so much. What I just described to you is a breakdown in boundaries. Healthy relationships between parents and children. And any good, solid relationship depends on healthy boundaries. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So I want you to think about that young guy, the damage that was done in his life because of unhealthy boundaries. Boundaries are like a fence on a property. It indicates where your responsibilities end and the other person's begins. Okay? That's a good way of looking at it. It is not a license to be lazy or uncaring or irresponsible. And this series is about how to have good, solid relationships. If you want to have good friends, whether that's relationships with your coworkers, in a marriage, in families, what have you, we've already looked at forgiveness. We've already looked at grace, but today will be about boundaries. There's a funny thing about boundaries is more recent development. You know, there was a time when employees would go on vacation and their employers couldn't get a hold of them. Remember those glorious days, for those of you who are old enough? Yeah. You know those days? Well, good healthy boundaries would say, boss, I'm going on vacation. I will see you in 2 weeks. Leave me alone. Good healthy boundaries. That's not quite how it's working out in 2019. Now, believe it or not, there is something called a vacation confidence index. Vacation confidence index. You don't need to know that. It won't be on the test. Done by Alliance Global Assistance. And what they found is, instead of telling their boss, I am unavailable during vacation, they decided to lie and say, there's no Wi-Fi at the resort I'm going to be at. Sorry, boss. Apparently, bosses buy this. Anyway, but they broke it down according to generation. And they said, boomers, those of you boomers, 32% of you said you would lie about this and say, yep, sorry, my resort doesn't have Wi-Fi. You can't get a hold of me. You're out of luck. Gen X, that's my generation, 49%, almost half said, yep, I'm going to lie about that one. Millennials, 59% of you said, I would be happy to lie about that. And here's the weird thing for me is 24% in this same survey, 24% of people picked a vacation spot so that they could have Wi-Fi, so they could work on vacation. Now, some of you know you're guilty. And right now, you're like shaking your head like, well, I would never do that. But one out of four of you do. Well, not me. I don't know. I don't think I check work on vacation, but maybe I do. Anyway, boundaries are hard. Boundaries are about the ability to say no and have no accepted. And according to Gavin DeBecker, who's an American author and security specialist, he says, no should be the end of the discussion, not the beginning of a negotiation. Some of you, do you have relationships in your life where no is the beginning of a negotiation? If you have children, nod your head. I don't know of any kid who takes the first no. It's like, okay, let's work this out, mom and dad. You got to say no at least 8 times, right? Boundaries create health. And we're going to look at 5 key boundary violations that we are probably all guilty of. Now, I know that the word boundary, you might be looking at that and go, oh man, my pastor just bought into the latest buzzword, boundary. But here's the thing, boundaries, once you understand what a boundary is, you find them in the Bible. In fact, we're going to mostly be looking at Jesus' life and how he laid down healthy boundaries because no one was better at healthy relationships than Jesus. And by looking at his life, we see how long before it became a buzzword, he was already practicing good, healthy boundaries. And I want you to consider the wisdom of having healthy boundaries in your life and what that could mean in your relationship. So, are you ready for 5 boundary violations that we've probably all broken? This is a feel-good sermon of the year. Are you ready? Ready. Here we go. Boundary violation number one, you must have no limits. You must have no limits, which means when we break this boundary, we force people to participate in certain activities. We make them do what they don't necessarily want to do. This can create resentment and burnout. The truth is, you and I all need rest. We have limitations in our lives. And if we have people in our lives who don't respect our limitations, it creates an unhealthy relationship. I have a pastor friend who's a great pastor. He is so gifted. He's got gifts of prophecy, words of knowledge. He heals people. He's amazing. I love this guy. And he goes gangbusters. He'll work 60, 80 hours a week because God's doing stuff through him, right? And he'll work and work and work until, guess what? He burns out. And when he burns out, the last time he burned out, he stopped working for, get this, 6 months. He was done. People didn't respect his boundaries. He didn't give himself healthy boundaries. The idea that you have no limits. So we're going to take a look at an example from Jesus' life. And we start off, I'll give you the context. Jesus just sent out the apostles, his followers. He just sent them out to do ministry. He said, go out into all these towns and tell them about the kingdom. Tell them to repent. Go heal the sick. All that sort of thing. So then we pick it up from here. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. It was a staff meeting. They had a staff meeting. Report in. What's going on? What are the good things that are happening? So they told Jesus all the great stuff that is happening. Now, stop right there. Before I moved here, I lived in oil country. And in oil country, when oil's going good, you pour into it. I mean, you invest like crazy. You work those 80-hour weeks. You dive in. You give it everything you got while the getting's good, right? Here in ministry, the getting was good. Things are going well. People were responding to the message. So what do you think a good CEO of the company should do? Should tell those guys, well, let's get back out there. Let's work harder. Let's build the kingdom. Lives are at stake here, right? Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So we need to have some healthy boundaries here. He could have said, look, guys, you got to do what I tell you to do. You got to get out there and have no limits. Just get out there and work harder. Instead, he said, you know what? You guys have worked hard. It's time to take a break. Let's go off. Let's relax together. And sometimes we, in our relationships, we want people to serve us. We want people to help us. Serve me, help me, take care of me, call me, visit me, do what I want. Don't you want to be served? Are you all too shy? Of course you want to be served. And when we demand that we be served, we are saying you must have no limits. And we break that boundary and it creates tension in the relationship. It creates resentment and anger both ways, actually. Why did Jesus give these guys a rest? Because Jesus knew the kingdom was bigger than those 12 guys. And the kingdom was bigger than the here and the now. That's why. When we don't recognize limitations, we cross a boundary. Boundary violation number two. You must agree with me. I wrote this message on the day of the Canadian election. My Facebook feed was full of all kinds of advice on who to vote for. and how the other party was terrible. And you must agree with me, because I'm right and they're wrong, was the message. Some couples have the rule, you can never disagree with me in public. Some of them have the rule, you can never disagree with me in private either, unfortunately. You must agree with me. This is creating a real problem in our society. Did you know, I don't think so much here in Canada, but I've read several articles now of what's happening in the States is people are actually moving to places of the country where they don't have to talk to people who disagree with them. So you've got Democrats moving into Democrat territory, Republicans moving into Republican territory. Also, they can live in their little bubble and never have to worry about someone who has a contrary opinion. There's been lots of articles on how to do Thanksgiving with people who disagree with you. Imagine that. And when you lose your freedom, here's the thing. When you lose your freedom, you're letting other people control you. You control where I live. You control what I say. You must agree with me. Now, Jesus had just finished a great message. We just saw it. We just read it a few minutes ago. It's a little confusing. But basically, he was saying that human effort is worthless. And this went contrary to public opinion and to the religion of his day. And this is what happened. And this, what I'm about to read to you is just so surprising to me. He said, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you also going to leave? Now, may be wondering what the big deal here is. I'll tell you what the big deal is. I can't work this thing. That's what the big deal is. What the big deal is. To me, it wasn't so much what Jesus did, it was what Jesus didn't do. He had a number of his followers who disagreed with him. Now, here's what often happens in church circles. When someone disagrees and they walk away, what does the church do? What's the expectation of the leadership? Go after them. Chase them down. Call them. Text them. Speak to them. Do something. Get them back. This is shocking to me. Jesus never did that. He let them walk away. He didn't say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to change my message or I'm going to soften it a bit. He said, hey, I just told you the truth. Take it or leave it. You don't have to agree with me. I'm not going to chase you down. So interesting. When we violate this boundary and we have in our minds, you must agree with me, we often start raising our voices. We'll lay on guilt trips, or pleas, or make shame statements. Speaking of faith sharing, this is where we often fall down. For those of us who are followers of Jesus this morning, we insist our spouse, our kids, our parents, our friends, our family, they must agree, and we will badger them and badger them and badger them. Anyone been badgered into the kingdom lately? See, when we have the idea that you don't have to agree with me, it's very freeing. You can just lay it out there like Jesus did, lay it out there, and people can take it or leave it. It's very freeing. You don't have to agree with me. Now, why didn't Jesus go after them? Didn't Jesus understand that eternities are at stake? We'll get to that more in a minute. Boundary violation number 3. You must like me. Oh, this one cuts kind of deep for me. Because as I've told many of you before, thank you. as I've told many of you before, you're a saint. I'm a natural people pleaser. I do things so that other people will like me. And I will be able to confess to you, sometimes I will even do, oh man, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'll even do questionable things. It's not quite the atmosphere we're going for there, Ida. Maybe I should go back to that grace sermon. Where was that? You must like me. Okay. Obviously, Ida does not like me. I know. I will make choices, though, in order to try to fit in. Have you ever done that? Have you ever kind of compromised your values just a little bit? Maybe you'll tell an off-color joke or something like that, just so you're a little more accepted, a little more liked. Please tell me I'm not the only one. Thank you. Boy, brought my fan club today, didn't I? The thing that I admire so much about Jesus is that he never felt he needed to be liked. I think he liked to be liked, don't we all? But he didn't need to be liked. So Jesus had just finished speaking about religion, how some religious folks will look really good on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. And this alarmed the disciples, because the Messiah was supposed to be after power, and these were very powerful people, and you want to have allies in your corner. So this is what the disciples said. Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said?" And Jesus replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind." We live in a world where one of the worst things you can do is offend people. And I'm not saying go out and be a jerk, but Jesus didn't seem to be real concerned about offending people. He didn't have that idea that you must like me. You must approve of me. Jesus tended to offend especially the religious who thought they had it all together. But he allowed people to not like or approve of him. He gave them the choice. That's good boundary. He said, "You don't have to like me. It's okay." That's freeing too. Not everyone in this room has to like you. As followers of Jesus, we have to love you.
Yes.
All right. Enough of that. That's a whole other message. Let's go. Boundary violation number 4. You must accept my help. Oh, I've learned this one the hard way. Have you ever tried to help someone who didn't want to be helped? Yes, you have. So funny, you know, people are so apt to give advice. I don't doubt that once I step off this platform, some of you are going to have great advice on how to get rid of a cold. You've got some brew in your purse just waiting for me. I know. If you have a parenting problem, someone's got a solution. Marriage problem, job problem, spiritual problem, everybody's got advice for you. And you must accept my help. I learned this the hard way one time. I think I've told the story before. I was over at a hoarder's place one time, and she stepped out for a few minutes, and I thought, I'm going to serve this lovely lady. And you can fill in the rest of the story, right? So I thought, I'll just tidy up a bit. So I picked up ripped papers off the floor, put them in the garbage. Precious, valuable things. I got told, and I learned, you do not help unless you've been asked to help. A lesson, by the way, I have to keep relearning along with some of the rest of you. So here's the story. Jesus had just finished casting out a bunch of demons. Now, this story gets really weird. And I would love to dive into this story, but it's what happens after the story that's really interesting to me for the purposes of this message. Jesus casts out these demons. These demons go into a bunch of pigs for whatever reason. I don't know why you'd want to be in pig world. And then these pigs decide to check out the bottom of the nearby lake. Do a little scuba diving. So they go down and they all drown. Now, the entire town hears about this. And they come out to meet with Jesus. And this is where we pick up the story. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Now, stop for a second. Didn't Jesus know what was best for these people? If anyone knew what this town needed, it was Jesus, right? So, a lot of us would probably say, I know what's best. Look, I'm just going to help you. You don't know that by refusing my help, you're refusing something really, really good, because I'm amazing. And so, what does Jesus do? Does he just barge in and say, you know what? I know you guys said to go, but I'm just going to go in and heal and maybe feed 5,000 more people and talk about the kingdom and all that sort of thing. Is that what he's going to do? No, he's got good boundaries. Watch this. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Next verse. You don't want me here? You don't want my help? No problem. I'll jump in the boat and go. That's good boundaries. He gave them the ability to say no. And he respected the no. That's a good boundary. Number 5. You must tolerate my behavior. In our world, there's a great confusion between acceptance of the person and approval of their behavior. We often assume that one means the other. That if you accept a person, you have to blanket approve of everything they decide to do. But healthy relationships, as we know, don't work this way. You married people out there, do you approve of everything your spouse does? But do you divorce them because of it? No. You accept them as your spouse. Doesn't mean you approve of everything that they do. I'm sure it creates some discussions in your home, as it does in mine, about things that you do not approve of. And my wife could preach her own sermon about things she does not approve of. And that's okay. But when we think that acceptance and approval always go together, that's where abuse comes in. And that's where immaturity drills down. So, for example, a woman may love her husband. That does not mean she needs to tolerate insults or degrading comments. A grandmother may love her granddaughter. That doesn't mean she needs to tolerate her granddaughter stealing her jewelry. Jesus didn't tolerate Judas's behavior. He called it betrayal in front of everyone. He said, "This is betrayal. You're betraying me with a kiss." Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote that even in the church, we don't tolerate all behavior. He said this, "You are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer, yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is abusive, or is a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. Have good boundaries." And good boundaries says, I don't need to tolerate all behavior. So, a husband may get a separate bank account from his overspending wife, or vice versa. Or a woman may choose to not get together with her drug-addicted friend who's abusive. Or a dad may choose to leave the room when his adult son has a temper tantrum. A good boundary says, I don't need to tolerate all of your behavior. I can love you, I can accept you, but I don't need to approve of everything you do. So, those are your boundary violations. So let's recap. My boundary is not to push you beyond your limits, is not to make you agree with me, is not to make you like me, is not to make you accept my help, and is not to tolerate your behavior. Now take a look at that list. Just take your time. We're going to hover here for a second. Take a look at that list. How many times have you and I broken each one of those boundaries? And the truth of the matter is, every time we break one of those boundaries, we push people away and we create unhealth in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in our church, with our friends. Every time. Every time we violate one of those boundaries, we push people away. So, what can we do? Well, two things that we can do. And both of them have to do with Jesus. Own your purpose. No one owned their purpose more than Jesus. He knew what he was here to do. He knew what he was here to accomplish, which meant he didn't force people beyond their limits. He didn't force people to like him or approve of him or to agree with him. He didn't force his help on anyone, and he didn't have to tolerate any behavior. Your purpose, as I've said before, will have to outlast you. Your true purpose will outlast you. And as a believer in Jesus, I'm firmly convinced that inviting people to follow Jesus, all our purposes have to line up into that somehow. Because inviting people to follow Jesus is the thing that will outlast us. So no matter what you do or how you do that, and there's all kinds of ways to do that, it'll line up with that. And you'll notice this is our mission statement as a church, inviting people to follow Jesus. You'll notice it's not making people to follow Jesus or forcing people to follow Jesus. It's inviting. It's laying it out there. Your friends, your family, laying it out there. Up to them. They have the ability and the freedom to say no. Number two, own your responsibilities. It's not our responsibility to control people's behavior. It's not our responsibility to make them like us or dislike us. It's not our responsibility to shape or force our beliefs on people or have them receive our help. It's not our responsibility to force our morality on people. And when this gets blurred, we become unstable friends. And the property's fences begin to topple. Know what your responsibility is. Our responsibility goes along with our purpose. We invite people to follow Jesus. We invite. That's, to me, my responsibility. Point people to Jesus. Respecting boundaries allows other people to decide whether to start a relationship and whether to continue a relationship. See, boundaries create health. But I want to drill down a little bit deeper because this message just isn't about our friends and our family and our spouse. It goes beyond that. One of the things that I've often wondered about was hell. How could a loving God send people to hell? You've probably heard this many, many times. It's a great question. How could a loving God send people to hell? And I didn't really understand hell until I understood boundaries. Because hell is all about boundaries. It's about respecting someone's right to say no. So you go back into that list. You know, what was the first one was the boundary violation. You must have no limits. In other words, you must do what I tell you to do. God never forces us to do anything. The second one, you must agree with me. God never says you must agree with me. He gives you the opportunity, as we discovered, to disagree. You must like me. Don't have to like God. He gives us the freedom to not like him, and many people do. Boundary violation number four, you must accept my help. God says, you can refuse my help. I'm not going to force myself on you. Boundary violation number five, you must tolerate my behavior. God says, I don't need to tolerate your behavior. It's a good boundary. God doesn't force these things on us. And here's the thing about religion. Religion, in the end, you know, trying to impress God with our good deeds, this is our way of trying to control God. It's trying to not respect his boundaries. It's trying to force God into a corner where he has to let us into the kingdom on our terms. See, love necessitates the ability to say no. Love necessitates the ability to say no. God cannot have a loving kingdom if people are forced into it. What kind of loving marriage has someone who's forced into it against their will? That doesn't sound like happiness to me. That's not love. Love allows people to say no, and that's what hell is. It's God respecting our no. Many of us, the truth is, many of us have perhaps lots of relationships. Maybe we're fortunate that way. But the truth is, a lot of us have unhealthy relationships. And that unhealth in our relationships, in our relationship with our kids, and our friends, and our spouse, and our wider family, creates an incredible loneliness. And some of us in this room may have lots of relationships, and we are terribly, terribly lonely. And one of the reasons might be is because we've violated boundary after boundary after boundary, and we don't know how to have healthy relationships. No one talked to me about boundaries until I was well into my adulthood. I wish someone would have talked to me about those things years and years before. The cross is an invitation, not a demand. We can reject the cross. We can reject God's gift of salvation for us. He gives us that freedom. Because God has healthy boundaries. He doesn't push that on us. Take a look at this. In the first chapter of John, John writes, Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. You'll notice some key things in there. He gave people the freedom to reject him. And for those who accepted him and believed him, he responded in kind. Because that's what healthy relationships are based on. He responds to our response. One of the boundaries that God has, our Father has, mentioned a few times, if you do not accept my son, you do not accept me. That's just a boundary. Another boundary, if you do not repent, you cannot know me. It's another boundary. This is about building healthy relationships, and God wants to have a healthy relationship with you, and he's not going to force himself on you. He's waiting for you to respond. He's waiting for you to come and accept him and believe him. And for some of us in this room, we haven't done that yet. We haven't made that step. But God wants you to make that step. He wants to have a healthy relationship. That's why he's been sitting back. He's not writing his name in the sky or standing at, you know, by your bedside in the morning and staring over you with, you know, judgmental arms, you know, kind of thing. Like, come on, get it together. He makes no demands. He lays out the invitation and hopes that you accept it. That's good, healthy boundaries. The start of any good relationship. My hope is if you haven't made that decision yet, you will do it today.